This is Doug Miller. How ought a church to be organized? Any way we want? Or God's way? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. And we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the message of God, with the Word of God in hand, knowing indeed that this is a Word with power to change lives, to open eyes, to make all things new. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and you will be blessed if you will come along, open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians. We are still in the first chapter. In fact, we just got through the first two verses of chapter one last time. So open up your Bibles and get the rich blessing of God's Word. Tell a friend, or call a friend, rather, and tell them to listen in and get blessed as well. Now, the blessing is not in this guy talking to you. I'll tell you right now. In and of myself, I've got nothing to say at all, and some of you might think that I've had very little to say anyway, but look, the blessing is in God's Word. He will not share His glory with another, and no flesh will glory in His presence, but this Word is life, and it is light, and we all need to take it in more and more and more. That means, of course, if I'm not the one that's giving the blessing, and I'm not, I am utterly and absolutely dependent on the Lord and upon those of you who are listening to me for your prayers and your support. I don't pretend to know why or just exactly how prayer works, but I know that Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I beg you, write down Dialogue on your prayer lists and pray for us. And, of course, we'd always love to hear from you. Very encouraging to know you're there and listening. And this is strictly a listener-supported effort here, so write to us. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right, here we go into Philippians. And I said we got through verses 1 and 2 last time. Actually, I'm going to go back and take them up again because I asked a question at the beginning of this broadcast. How ought a church to be organized? In any way or in God's way? And is there a way? Now, I realize, let me say this at the outset, I realize that many of you out there, most of you perhaps, are involved in a church. And I pray that you are. And I'm not going to tell you what church to be involved in. I'm going to let the Lord lead you, but I will tell you this. Whatever church you are involved in, it ought to be one that is grounded soundly and solidly in this Word. And some are and some aren't. Now, many of you out there listening to me, you are drawn to certain churches because of the denomination. It's the denomination you grew up in. It's the denomination you feel comfortable with. And, you know, Billy Graham used to tell the story about a man who was a Baptist, and his wife was a member of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and she tried to get him to come over to church with her, and he said, "Well, listen, I've been a Baptist all my life, and no one's going to make a Christian out of me." That's kind of how many of us work. The denomination is important. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's ministry on this earth, and you can go back and read this in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John. This is the Lord Jesus' ministry in the upper room prior to his crucifixion. The Holy Spirit's ministry on this earth is to draw men to the resurrected and the glorified Christ. And when, you know, people say, well, come down to our church, we've got a wonderful preacher down there. But the Holy Spirit's ministry is not to draw people to preachers, no matter how good they are, or to exalt any particular man. His ministry is to draw people to Christ. You say, well, down at our church, we got a great youth program, and we're building a new gymnasium, and on it goes. But the Holy Spirit does not draw people to programs. He draws people, once again, to the resurrected and glorified Christ. He does not draw people to certain denominations. He draws people to the resurrected and the glorified Christ. Now, some of you out there are saying, okay, Miller, I'm listening to you, and you're just offending me no end. You keep saying he's drawing people to the resurrected and the glorified Christ. Why do you keep saying that? Well, I keep saying it because it's true. And you say, well, you know, we exalt and glorify Christ in my particular church, and therefore I see no problem with my being there. Friend, I didn't say there was any problem with your being there. I just want you to know where you are and why you're there and what you're doing there. And that's, you know, you may be exactly where the Lord wants you. Now, I'm saying all of this so I can get into and open up verses 1 and 2 of Philippians a little bit again. We're going over some ground we went over last time, but I want you to notice how Paul opens this letter of his. He says, he calls himself and Timothy bond slaves of Jesus Christ, and that's standard typical opening for him. He usually, he always, so far as I know, presents himself in that fashion, and that's not a bad way to present yourself, is it? We need more bond slaves of Jesus Christ out there. And a bond slave is a man, of course, who has no rights of his own. He is strictly operating totally and at all times at the pleasure and according to the wishes of his owner. So here he is. He's a bond slave, and so's Timothy. And he directs the letter to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Now, who are these saints? Well, let me tell you who they're not. They are not individuals who somehow have attained to some greater status than others because they were so good or they performed miracles or whatever you have. You know, I mean, we have St. Peter and St. Paul and all of these different saints that have been canonized, as it were, by the church over the years. Paul never uses the word in that way. If you are saved, if you are born again, then you are set apart unto God, sanctified, you are holy in Christ, and you are a saint. And incidentally, the word in Greek for saints is the same word that we get the word sanctify and holy from. And it's, once again, all believers, all born-again people fit into this category. And this happens to be a group of born-again people in the little town of Philippi, the Roman colony, up in Macedonia. And of course, I talked about this the last time, all of the great joy that these people gave Paul. Here is his first European converts were here, and he directs this letter to them. But now take note, the saints with the bishops and the deacons. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, and I hope you do, I really hope that you do, because Dr. Scofield's notes are really marvelous. They are they're derived from the old brethren of the 19th century, Darby and Kelly, and McIntosh and F.W. Grant and those men. He himself was very lavish in his admission that he got everything he knew from these guys. But these notes of his are just marvelous. You may not agree with all of them, and I'm not sure that I do, but you will profit immensely. If you have a Scofield, I want you to look at his note on this. Saints, bishops, deacons. Dr. Scofield says this is the simplest, and I'm paraphrasing now. I don't have his note in front of me, but he said this is the most basic form of the organized church right here. Now, once again, in saying these sorts of things, I realize that I am no doubt going to be offensive to some of you, and as I have said many times and will continue to say many times, that is certainly not my purpose. Those of you who are listening to me who may disagree with what I say, I beg you, I implore you, let the Word of God say what it says. And if I am not being true to the Word of God, then take after me with both the gloves off, because I need to be corrected and straightened out. If I'm seeing things wrong here, I need to be corrected and straightened out. But friends, I have one lamp by which my feet are guided, and it is the lamp of this book. If it's in the book, I need it. If it's not in the book, I don't need it. And if it's not in the book, my experience is that there is usually a very good reason for it. Now, some of you, many of you, if you are reading what I just read to you, if you are looking at it, then you are wondering what I used to wonder. Why doesn't Paul say, direct this letter to the pastor of the church? Why doesn't he do that? Well, you can read any of Paul's letters, and you will notice that he never does that. There is no reference to the pastor of the church. Now, let me say this before I go on any farther. Those of you who are listening to me, and you may be the pastor of a church, I am not trying to offend you. I love you. I appreciate you. Many of you are laboring away out there humbly with very little thanks, and you are shepherding flocks along with very little honor and glory to be had from it, and a lot of criticism and a lot of hard work and heartache. And I know that the Lord is going to bless you, and I certainly am not going to do anything to discourage you. And I know that you're going to be rewarded richly at the bema of Christ, much more than this guy talking to you probably. Nevertheless, the pattern, the New Testamental pattern for the church, any church, any local assembly in this church age we're living in this dispensation of grace, is the very one that we see in front of us, and you will find no other type of organization laid down in any of Paul's letters. And if you say, well, I can go back in the Old Testament and show you, listen to me, friends. The church is Paul's doctrine. The church, everything we know about the church, we know from Paul. You're not going to learn anything about church order and church discipline to speak of, looking at Peter, James, John, any of them. They don't mention the church. James mentions it. I think he has the word in his letter once. But everything we know about church and church order, we know from Paul. This is his doctrine. And here we have something, and I think it's worth looking at. Now, if you say, well, someone's got to run the thing, isn't it the pastor? You are right. Someone has got to run the thing, but it is not the pastor. It is pastors, plural. And that is always the New Testamental pattern. And we have it here in this word bishops. Now, don't worry about the word bishops. If you say, well, we don't have a bishop in our church, no, we don't have one in mine either. If by bishop you mean some one individual, usually the way it is in church order today, you will have a bishop and he'll be over a whole bunch of churches. You know, you have the bishop at Rome, or the bishop in Constantinople, or the bishop in Alexandria, and so on and so forth. And Many of the Protestant churches today have bishops, and they are ruling, as it were, these individuals over a bunch of churches. You never see that in the New Testament. Once again, not trying to offend you, just want to show you the truth. But in the New Testament church, there are bishops, and the word in the Greek here is episkopos. Episkopos. And you probably are saying, well, that's the word we get our word episcopal from. Right you are. But once again, forget all the churchiness. Forget all the tradition that's come down to us. Episkopos is simply two Greek words put together, and it means to look upon. These are overseers. And if you go back and read the 20th chapter of Acts, you're going to find out that the episkopos, the overseers, and the pastors, and the elders are all the same guys. This is the way the Lord set it up. Now, some of you out there are saying, well, we don't have elders in our church. We have deacons, but no elders. And if I say, well, why don't you have elders? The answer I'll get is, well, there are no apostles around to appoint them. Friends, there don't have to be apostles around to appoint them. We have apostolic direction in 1 Timothy and in the little book of Titus. And this is apostolic, and it tells you exactly how to appoint these men. Ladies, sorry about that. Now, I may get some heated letters about that one. There is no indication that women are to be in these positions. And if you say, well, that's Paul for you, the old woman hater, oh, please. This opens up a whole new direction and a whole new can of worms, as it were. Paul was not a woman hater. He was not a male chauvinist pig. He was writing as an apostle under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and he knew what he was doing. And he did it right. And you're either doing it Paul's way or you are going against the Word of God. Now, every church needs not a pastor, but pastors, plural. It is not one man who runs the thing. It is a group of elders who are pastoring and shepherding the local flock. Every church ought to have them. This is not a group of men somewhere that run a whole bunch of churches from afar. Oh, no. These are men who are living with the flock. Go back and read in the Gospel of Luke in the 2nd chapter, and you will find there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And notice the proximity of the shepherd to the flock. They're out there living with them and living among them. And every church has got to have them. Who are these? These are individuals, once again, older men, experienced and seasoned men who have gone down the road, who are of good reputation, and without them, you simply cannot. You're going to flounder along. Now, once again, I know that some of you out there listening to me are the pastor of the church. And some of you out there listening to me, I'm sorry to say, and I know this from experience, have a very dictatorial approach to your being the pastor of the church. You better get over that. You better get over that real quick. God doesn't have a dictator over the church, but he does have and should have pastors in the church raised up to shepherd the flock by example and with love and with compassion. And if you have got shepherds in your church who are doing this work, and it is a work, and a thankless work many times at that, if you've got them, you'd better get down on your knees and thank God for them and pray for them. Now, there's another group here mentioned, and it is deacons. And once again, this is an interesting word, diakonos. In fact, the word deacon is transliterated out of the Greek, diakonos, and it simply means a minister or a servant. Now you say, well, what's the difference? Well, let me just give you an example of some differences. In every church, there ought to be a group of deacons. Now, deacons are not necessarily those that are teaching in the church. An elder, if you go back and read 1 Timothy, an elder has to be a teacher, must be apt to teach, is one of the qualifications for being an elder. But a deacon is one who is serving in the church. If you have deacons in your church, they may be in charge of many kinds of ministries. They may be, keeping up the building, making sure that all of that it's in good repairs. They may be, tending to the lawns outside. They may be doing any number of kinds of work. And incidentally, for those of you who are ladies out there, you will, if you go back and read 1 Timothy or read the 16th chapter of Romans, you will find that a deacon can certainly be a woman. As I read it, I don't see anything wrong with a woman being a deacon. But, once again, as with the elders, it's a plurality, it's a group, and these are individuals that ought to be recognized in the church. If you're in a church and someone says to you, well, who are your elders down there? And you say, I don't know. Well, you got a little problem there, I think. I think these people ought to be recognized and known. If you say, well, who are the deacons down there? Well, I don't know. Well, once again, I think you've got a little problem, because these deacons ought to be recognized and known. There's such a thing as a laying on of hands, of publicly recognizing these individuals for their piety, for their love of the Lord, for the work that they are doing. And once again, it is a work. And when you've got this, then you have got a church with the ingredients in it that it takes to be a functioning, vibrant, and vital church. A plurality of pastors, a plurality of deacons or ministers, and a group of saints gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what a church, that's how it begins. That's what it's about. Once again, I know some of you are going to disagree with me. Well, if you disagree with me and you want to write and disagree with me, do me a favor. Be sure and cite chapter and verse and make it out of the New Testament and out of the writings of Paul. You want to go back and pick up stuff out of the Old Testament? Don't waste my time. But if you can show me from Paul's apostolic writings about the church that what I have said is wrong, I will certainly try to learn from it. And one way or the other, you as a believer, if you're listening to me as a believer, you and I are not going to fall out with one another over this. We're going to love one another, and I'm going to support and pray for you and help you however I can. And the Lord bless you for the work that you're doing. Now, notice, we've got something else here. We're about out of time, and we'll probably have to take this up the next time. But notice the centrality here of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Our gathering is to Him, Jesus Christ. That, as I said earlier, is what the Holy Spirit is doing in this earth. That's what His work is. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.